So the last few weeks we've been thinking about our senses and God. And so a few weeks ago, Tessa came and preached about what it means for us to taste and see that God is good. That's the encouragement from the Psalms, to taste that God is good. And she spoke about our need to really savor God's goodness, to take our time in our relationship with him, not a kind of wolfing down your dinner, but really enjoying it, using that analogy to think how sort of closely we walk with God, and as well how we're to go and be sort of salt to the world, that actually we are to be flavorsome as well in the world around us. And then Penny spoke about what it is to fix our eyes on Jesus, to look to him in this world where there are so many competing things to look at. Actually, what does it mean to look at God? Last week we thought about what it is to be the aroma of Christ, to stink for God in the world around us, and to worship him in a way which is a pleasing fragrance to God. Next week, on Paul's return, he's going to be talking about rolling up your sleeves for God, and actually what it means to use your hands in the world, to work hard for God. And so this week, we're thinking about what it is to listen to God. And actually, really, very simply, what the talk is this morning is a reminder that God speaks. And secondly, we want to give some time to actually listening to God together, which is where we'll get to towards the end. So our Bible reading today is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It may appear on the screen, it may not. If it does, you can look at it up there. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." When I was a small child, we did our holidays in Pembrokeshire. Anyone been to Pembrokeshire, had holidays there? Lovely part of the world, really, really beautiful. I remember as a really small child, a feeling which is hard to articulate, as I sat and watched the sea, sitting on a cliff or sitting on a beach, there was just something deep within me which was wowed and amazed by the vastness and the beauty and the smell and the motion of the ocean. When I went to Sunday school as a child, I heard week in, week out, stories about Jesus, Bible stories about old heroes of the Old Testament, gospel stories about Jesus like we've heard today, stories of the early church at work through faithful Sunday school teachers who taught us this stuff every week. I then became a little cute angelic choir boy, believe it or not, and singing at the cathedral in Leicester, and heard different people preaching and saw a different way of worshipping, and can remember on occasions as a young lad, again not really able to articulate it, but just having this kind of spine tingly feeling at the sound of a choir just going for it in a big old church like that. I remember when I was 12, I decided I wanted to follow Jesus, and I had an experience of the Holy Spirit, and I felt such exhilaration, which was so deep and so amazing. And I remember feeling I could just run and run and run and run. Such was this kind of physical reaction to God's goodness in my life as a young lad. As I became a Christian, I had this kind of hunch that I would do something full-time for God. I didn't think it would be this, actually, but there we go. no disappointment, I might add. But I didn't think it would be, but there was something in there. I couldn't articulate it, I couldn't rationalize it, but there was a hunch, there was a nudge that actually that's where God would take me. I remember sitting on my bed as a 12-year-old, feeling a bit distraught, actually, having become a Christian, feeling a bit lost with it all and a bit overwhelmed with it all, and getting a bit upset. And my mum came in and she said, "Well, look at this bit of the Bible." And she opened up John's Gospel and read the words, "Do not be worried and upset," Jesus said, "believe in God and also in me." And then in John 10, where Jesus promises fullness of life. And I didn't really know what was going on with those passages, but in that moment as a young lad, they gave comfort and something held me in those passages of scripture in that little time of my life. I was then a teenager and did all the kind of things that teenagers do, and in the course of that had good friends and went to church and heard umpteen sermons and went on summer camps and did all of that kind of stuff. I remember once being on a summer camp and being invited to go forward if I wanted to say yes to serving God. And I remember walking down these steps and to the front of this big meeting saying, yeah, I want to say yes to God. I don't know what I'm saying yes to, but I want to say yes to serving him. And I looked up and all my friends were on a balcony and they were cheering and going, yeah, come on, this is really, really good. And I've never forgotten that moment. I remember watching Good Will Hunting, which is a poignant film to mention this morning, because it's one of Robin Williams' films. And in a scene from that film, which you can ask me about later if you want, because we've not got time now, just realizing something that I'd never fully appreciated about God's love before, even though it's not a Christian film, it's not really about God, there was a scene in that, a particular scene, where a penny dropped for me about how good God was and about what it meant that he really, really loved me. There are times where I felt a nudge to go and tell someone my story of being a Christian. There are times where I felt a call to give someone a ring a little bit out of the blue. And there's been times where I felt it's right just to share a word of scripture with somebody. And it seems to have proved the right thing to do. I made a little list, I'll be honest with you, as I walked from our house, which is about sort of 50 meters that way, around the corner to the church here. And my question as I walked was, how has God spoken to me? And that is the off the top of my head, kind of off the cuff list. And it's one of those things, the more you think about it, the more you realize, oh my goodness, God's been speaking in all kinds of ways. And actually, I could stand here probably all morning, I'm not going to, and just kind of say, and it's not that I always knew God was speaking to me, it's not that I always knew what God was saying, but in those various different ways, I can look back on my life and think, God has spoken. Not always in the ways I expected, not always in the places I expected, not always as dramatically as I might have wanted, but God is a God who has spoken to me over the years. And I say that because this morning I want to draw attention to the fact, not to that God has spoken to me, but that God speaks, and God speaks to each of us. I'd like to challenge you, either today or this week, if you have a quiet moment, to do that exercise, maybe get a pen and paper and think, okay, how has God spoken to me? And don't just kind of think about it in a narrow kind of how many times have I seen it written in the stars kind of way, but actually, how has God spoken to me? What has God used in my life to communicate things which I needed to hear to me? As I've done that short exercise this morning, it's kind of amazed me, and it's just made me realize there's so much more. And it's happening all the time in our conversations with people, in the meetings we have, in the people we see, in the things we read in Scripture. And so this morning is just an encouragement, a reminder, or maybe something you've not really thought about ever, that God speaks. And don't just take my word for it, because that just could be me in a strange mood because we're going on holiday tomorrow. Look at Scripture. It takes three verses of Scripture. The third verse of Genesis, we hear, God said, let there be light. So God communicates instantly. As we open up our Scriptures, we see that he's a God who speaks. God talked with Adam and Eve in the garden, not just commandments, but conversationally. He asked, where are you? Eliciting a response from them. God spoke to Cain. God spoke to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses, to Joshua. God spoke to all of those guys. In the time of the Judges, which is the next period of Israel's history, where Israel was really kind of going down the pan, frankly, in terms of morals and ethics, God spoke into that situation to them. Israel then said they wanted to have a king, and God had said, I don't think this is the best idea for you. And they said, we want one anyway. God continued to speak to them. God continued to bless them. When things were going well, God spoke through his prophets to his people. When things were going badly, God spoke through his prophets. When Israel were exiled and life had not turned out the way they wanted it to turn out, God continued to speak through his prophets. Look at the New Testament. Look at the way the four Gospels open up. Matthew's Gospel, in the first chapter, God speaks to people in dreams and visions. In Mark's Gospel, God speaks through John the Baptist, who was, if you like, the last of the old school prophets that God used in that way. And then Jesus is baptized by John, and we're told that the heavens opened and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my son whom I love, I'm pleased with him. In the start of Luke, in the first few verses, God speaks to Zechariah, and then God speaks to Mary, and God speaks to shepherds, and God speaks again through John the Baptist. And in John, in the very first line, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And he's referring to Jesus as the Word. Jesus is God's word supremely and definitively spoken to us. So whenever then we hear in the Gospels Jesus speak, we're hearing God speak. And then the early church, the Spirit comes and they sense God speaking to them and they speak for God. Paul hears the voice of Jesus on the road to Damascus. God speaks to the early church in dreams and visions, and he speaks to them in their conversations. He speaks to them in their council meetings even. So there's hope for any PCC. God speaks in that context as well. And God increasingly, as the early church grow in their understanding of the Spirit and his gifting, that they increasingly speak to one another in the prophetic, that actually God sends a prophetic gift to people, and they speak to each other in words and pictures that God has spoken to one another. And then we get to the final book of the Bible, and it's called Revelation, where God gives a revelation to John. And in the final few verses, having opened the Bible, reading the words, God said, let there be light, the very final verses we get to, we hear Jesus says, I am coming soon. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Come, whoever is thirsty, take the free gift of the water of life. The Bible starts with God speaking life over creation. And the Bible ends with Jesus inviting people to life. God speaks a lot. And he also speaks in infinitely resourceful ways. At times in an audible voice, through the prophets, through dreams, through visions, through conversations, through the councils, through a burning bush, through a hurricane, through a storm, through a quiet whisper, through life circumstances, through signs and wonders, through poetry, through reasoning, through debate, and through creation. When I was sat on those beaches in Wales as a kid, I didn't really realize what was going on, but God was speaking to me just by the beauty of his creation. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So creation is speaking to us about what God is like. If you feel this morning that God has gone quiet on you, he still speaks. He still wants to speak. He still is speaking. This morning's about us thinking about how we kind of tune our ear in to that, how we appreciate again that God is speaking to us, longs to speak to us. And God speaks through his word. When I was a youth worker, young people would often say things along the lines of, I really wish God would speak to me. And what I think they meant was they wanted a miraculous sign in the sky from God. And I would always say, well, God speaking to you is as close as your nearest Bible, because we really believe this is God's word. Park for a moment your thoughts on whether we take it literally or not literally, or some of it literally. That's for another day. But his word is inspired. And so therefore, God speaks to us. I believe whenever we open the scriptures, God is speaking to us. Sometimes that will jump out like a red flash on the page and we'll realize what it is. Sometimes it's just that kind of quiet, ongoing work of God deepening our knowledge of him, our understanding of him. But God speaks to us through scripture. If you feel God's gone quiet, open your Bible this week. Find some time. Make some time. You probably won't find any time. You have to make some time. Carve out some time to get your Bible open this week and to hear what God has said and wants to say to you. And God speaks in all these other ways as well, as we've thought about. Be open this week to what God might want to say to you through creation, through your conversations, through your life's circumstances at the moment. And something else we're going to think about this morning is actually how God speaks to us through his Spirit. So we've got his word, and we're so thankful for that. It's God-breathed and it's inspired. We've got the world around us, which God can use in any way he chooses, actually, to speak to us. Moses wasn't expecting a burning bush to speak to him. There was a guy called Balaam who wasn't expecting his donkey to start speaking, but it happened, which is great hope for vicars everywhere. God can speak through donkeys. Thank goodness for that. God will open the mouth of whatever he chooses to open the mouth of in our world to speak to us. Be really broad and open to how God might want to speak to you this week. And it might just start with a prayer every morning. God, I want to listen carefully today to you. And that will involve being quiet, being intentional, but it will just be involved being attentive to the world around you. So there's the scripture, there's the world around us. But actually, as I said, the early church grew in their understanding of the Holy Spirit, and he poured out his gifts on them. And actually, they began to experience the ability to speak to one another in kind of words and pictures and a prophetic way. And that's something that here at St. Francis, we want to know more of. in our lives. It's something I want to know more of in my life as well. I'm not an expert in this by any means. And one of the key places in which that happens is as we gather together in worship, that as well as us pouring out our hearts to God and worshiping Him and singing, actually there's a place for us, as we've invited the Spirit, to listening to Him, to actually encountering Him and hearing what He has to say to us. So because there's not much more I'm going to say about this, I'm going to invite Dave to come forward. Thank you, Dave. If you're new to the church, Dave works for the church as an administrator and a worship leader, not both at the same time usually, although sometimes. And I just wanted to interview Dave, if that's okay with you all. Well, if you say it's not, I'm going to do it anyway, frankly. But I'm going to interview Dave, actually, about what this is, about hearing God in the context of us gathered together as a church, worshipping together. So your mic's
I think so.
Live
yeah.
and kicking. Great, okay. Great. So Dave, I've talked about the early church. How do we know what the early church were up to? What clues have we got in the New Testament as to how the church experienced this gift of the Spirit and this kind of ability to listen to God through the Spirit?
Great. Fab. I'm not here as the expert, by the way. I know he said he's not the expert. I'm not the expert either. But I just happen to be doing loads of reading on it. But so in Corinthians, we see Paul writing to the church. And it's a bit of the Bible I love because it's really instructional. Sometimes we can read the Bible and think, I don't quite know what that means. I don't quite know what that says. But in Corinthians, we see pictures of the church. So in 1 Corinthians 14, we see Paul writing and says about worship and how we gather. It says, when you come together, and this is us coming together as a group. Often we spend a lot of time alone. It says people have a hymn, a lesson or a teaching. That's a preach, probably. A tongue, an interpretation, a prophecy. And it's all used to build up church, to build each other up, to encourage. So that's where we see a little glimpse of what the church looks like. Because we can come to Sunday and think, how did we get here? How did we get to sitting in rows and listening to Tom and singing? And we see bits of it in the church, in the Bible there, in Corinthians, about telling us. And so that's where we take those things. So we're searching for those things. A hymn, we sing lots of hymns. That's great. We tick box. A lesson, we hear from God's word, tick the box. And then we get these others that are listed, and we often forget or don't quite pay attention. So we've got prophecies, we've got tongues, which is that language that God has given us, that special language that sometimes we don't understand what it means. And then we've got an interpretation of that, which is good.
Okay.
Go on.
Can you give us some examples and some encouragement of where actually you've experienced that happening, that you've been in a worship context, and there is a sense that God has spoken to somebody, and that's become obvious to everybody that God has spoken. What does that look like? How does it happen?
Yeah. Go. Well, I think if talking about worship context, that if we're really open to the Spirit, we spend a lot of time waiting, and that's sometimes a bit awkward for some of us, to be quiet, to be silent, to stop. But I think of those precious moments where we don't do anything. I can't think of a time in my week where I've stopped and just thought, this is it. I'm just going to wait and listen and see what God's saying. And so when we do that, I've seen just pictures. And when we start getting people interpreting things and bringing the same kind of picture of God, of encouragement, of something that might happen, that's where I see it most. I think the example I wasn't going to go straight for worship, but I know it happened a long time ago in worship, was way, way back when I was a tiny time. I must have been 2 or 3, and I heard this story, so I didn't recall it. I haven't got a good memory. And then I was at my parents' church, and there were loads of kids, and they decided they'd prophesy during time of worship for all the kids. They'd pray over them and just write it all down, which they did, apparently. And they wrote it all down. They prayed, prophesied, and said, you know, what does God want for these children? We were ranging for the ages of 0 to about 7. And this was happened, apparently, and that was it. And then it wasn't until about 3 years ago where my mum was clearing out the attic. And I'd been then working in London as a worship leader and doing internships and been leading worship for a few years. She rang me up and said, I've got something for you. She said, David. And that's what my mum calls me, David. So You all call me Dave, and that's great. I love that. But there's two people who call me David. That's my mum, and sometimes my dad if he's writing a legal document. But other than that, no. Everyone calls me Dave. So, and she's like, all right, I need to talk to you. She said, I found this piece of paper, and it's dated 1990. So if you can remember what you were doing in 1990, can you? I can't. I was really young, and she said, look, I'm going to read out this list of names. And she read out this list of names, and she said, so-and-so going to go into the world of banking. So-and-so going to be an evangelist. So-and-so is going to be a church leader. It says, your name here is going to be a worship leader. And she'd forgotten about this for many, many years. And you might say it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I can tell you that every name on that list, well, they were doing it. One was a church leader, one was an evangelist, one was leading banking in finance and doing incredible things. And there was my name on the list as a worship leader. Now, it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but certainly everyone had forgotten about it for years. And so that's just the way that God speaks and encouragement. That it could take, that was 25 years in the making.
Yeah. Okay. So here at St. Francis, on Sunday mornings, I mean, we've thought a little bit that we hear God all the time and we need to be individually open to that. Here at St. Francis, what should we do? How do we put ourselves in a position where actually God can speak to us in that way and that we can express what God has said to us? And what would that look like for us and for any church as they get together on a Sunday?
Yeah, so it can look like a myriad of things, but I think we want to give more and more time over. So I know it's a really precious hour we get on a Sunday morning. We want to give more time to just wait in on God. And things like prophecies and tongues with an interpretation. Otherwise it's a bit weird hearing these funny things. It doesn't build anyone up. But hearing those things, and encouraging each other, that really does change the dynamic of worship. I don't want to be just the one singing loads of songs and then waving you off goodbye, going home. And I want us all to be a part. I want us to participate in worship. I don't want you to just watch or just sing and walk away. I think God definitely, it says that everyone has a hymn, a lesson, a prophecy, a tongue, and for a couple of people to share those things. And they all build us up, they all encourage us. And so for us, I think waiting more on God during times of worship. So if it's that silence, then that's fine. And some of your gifts might not be direct, like thus says the Lord. I don't think he quite talks like that. But things might be, some of you are encouragers. I have to really consciously be an encourager, but some of you are natural encouragers. And you just think, I need to say this to this person. And you might just think that while just waiting in worship, and I encourage that. That's a gift. That's God speaking to you. That's something you should share.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. In a moment, we're going to actually just spend some time listening to God. We'll get to that in a minute. But thank you very much, Dave. Give him a round of applause. Brave man. And so just a few things which we've talked about what God wants to do, that God speaks and how God speaks and things like that. And Dave sort of got onto that. What's our responsibility then as the listeners? Because really this is about how we listen to God. And Dave talked about being open and, you know, sort of being intentional that we want to hear from God and inviting God in. Here's just a few principles really of what it means for us to listen to God. And the first is just quite simply to be open. In your daily life and when you come to church, to come here with that sense of God is going to speak to us this morning. I don't know how, I don't know what it's going to look like, but he will, because that's his heart, that's his longing. And just to be open to that and to do whatever you need to do to be open, which is probably about giving time and space for him to speak. The second thing is to be disciplined, because the more disciplined we are in coming before God wanting to listen to him, the better we will know his voice. When I phone my mum, I don't say, hi, it's me, Tom Coopy from Salisbury, your son. I just say hi, and she says, hello, Tom, because she knows my voice. It's a twee example. She just knows it really well. I don't need to sort of remind of the sound of my voice. We know each other so well, and it's exactly the same with God, really. In as much as he speaks in different ways, we can learn to recognize when God is speaking to us, and part of that is recognizing it as if it's sort of fits in with God's word. God's word is spoken to us, and so there's nothing more that can be added to Scripture. When we invite God to speak to us in worship, we're not kind of thinking he might give us a new doctrine or a new book of the Bible. Actually, there's nothing that can be added to this. But when the Spirit comes and speaks to us, he just takes us deeper into it. He delves us into what's already here rather than adding to it. New cults and strange deviations of Christianity occur when people think that God speaking to them is adding to this and changing it. Actually, it's all about kind of, we contextualize what God says to us with this. So if it fits in with this, then that's one of the ways we know it's God. So that means knowing God's word as well is a really important part of listening to God, both in terms of hearing from his word and how else he might want to speak to us. So we're open, we're disciplined, we're careful with God's word. We're patient as well. We live in a microwave culture, don't we, where everything happens straight away. You know, you turn your computer on and it's ready to go, and you zap your meal in the microwave and it's done. Being at New Wine last week, having to wait 5 extra minutes for the kettle to boil became really frustrating for me. I know how quickly I need a cup of tea, and there you are waiting and waiting. It just reminded me how quickly things happen in our culture. God doesn't operate on that timescale. Sometimes he may answer you instantly as you pray. Sometimes, actually, prayers can take years to be answered. But God speaks, and the Psalms often say, you know, I waited patiently. How long, O Lord? Patience is part of this. We're not suggesting that we somehow have this kind of direct line to God where we will just kind of force his hand on whatever we want and get him to speak to us by prodding him often enough. It's actually, we're just open to God speaking to us in his time scale. The next thing is to be loving. The things that Dave was talking about, the New Testament's really clear. Those words, those pictures, they're given for the good of the church. They're given to build people up, to bless people. They're not about massaging egos. They're not about kind of setting aside super Christians. There is a gift there as a blessing. So as we think about if God's speaking to us, as well as thinking, does it fit in with his word? The other question is actually, will it bless anybody if I share this? Will it be good news for anybody if I share this? We also need to be humble about the fact that we might get it wrong. And so the thus says the Lord, you're definitely having sausage and mash for your lunch today, or whatever it is. Actually, that doesn't wash, because we just have to be humble before God. And often, the little examples I've shared of where I felt a nudge to go and share something with someone, there's been all kinds of to-ing and fro-ing between God about whether it's just me, or whether it's God, or whether it's right, or whether it's wrong, whether it will be badly received or well received. But invariably, if that thing is there and it fits in with God and it's a blessing to others and it won't go away, go and share it, but share it in the context of, please weigh this up. This might be wrong. It might just be me in a strange mood. I might not be hearing God properly, but I think it's worth suggesting this to you and just see what God does with it. So we're always humble in our hearing of God. So we're open, we're disciplined, we're careful with Scripture, we're patient, we're loving, we're humble, and finally, be excited. When God spoke at the start of the Scriptures, he said, let there be light, and there was light. So when God speaks, stuff happens. The things that God wants to do in this world are preceded by him speaking. And Mary, in that little story from the Gospels, knew that, really. She knew that it was right that she sat and listened to Jesus. And of course Martha wasn't doing anything wrong in cooking the dinner. And of course Jesus would have enjoyed the dinner and been glad that she cooked it. And the audience who heard this the first times, the first century Jews, they knew how important hospitality was. They knew Jesus wasn't saying, yeah, don't worry about doing any work. Of course there's work to do. I think he's just making the point that the first thing is to be at the feet of Jesus. And we work from that place rather than get so busy that we forget to even listen to what he wants to say to us as well. I find that really challenging, actually. We just want to get on and do stuff. Actually, stop. Listen. Listen to God. So there's loads there to kind of think about, but the idea is that this is something quite practical this morning. And so we did this at the 9:30, and we just had some quiet time, and it felt really precious, actually, just to be quiet for a minute. As Dave said, we don't stop in the week. And so actually just to stop and listen. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer asking that God's Spirit would come and that he would speak to us. And we're going to leave some quiet and just encourage you just to be open, as we've said, to what God might want to say to you. Maybe it'll be a word or a picture. Maybe it'll be a train of thought that he takes you on. Maybe it'll be a memory of something that he'll bring back. Maybe it'll be a word from Scripture that he'll recall to your mind. Maybe it'll be something else entirely. And from there, we're just going to go into a time of worshiping together and continuing to listen to God. if you feel in this time that there's anything you really want to come and share, and because of time and because we're all together, again, I think one of those disciplines actually is to share briefly. I hope that's not too controlling, but actually if people do want to share, we need to be kind of careful about that. Just come and tap me on the shoulder and you know, we'll do that, listening to God together. Equally, there's no pressure. Don't feel bad. Like, God just works in different ways, but we just want to be open together for a little bit. So if there's anything you feel that God's saying to you, that's great. If you think it's something that everyone needs to hear, be brave and come and ask if you can share it. But if you could just come and grab me first on your way up, that'd be really good. Also, the prayer ministry team in a little while will be over here. If there's anything that God says to you that you just know, I need to pray about that, I need to get some prayer for that, come over to this side. There'll be people there who would like to pray for you as well. That's enough of my voice, because we'd rather hear from God. So let's be quiet together. Let's be still as much as we can be as a family together. And let's invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Thank you that you are the God who speaks emphatically and consistently and lovingly. Speak to us this morning. Help us to be open to your voice.